Lord, now as we turn to your word, may it accomplish. As your word says, it does not return to you void, O Father. May your children open up their ears. May they listen. May they open up their eyes. May they be able to see. May they receive the discernment, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the confirmation. As we are temples of the God Most High, who the Spirit of the living God, the Ruach HaKodesh, dwells, who's preparing us one day for our bridegroom, for we are the bride. And Father God, we just ask that your will would be done and that your work would go forth in our own lives to transform us in the image, likeness, and character of your dearly beloved Son, Yeshua. May we accomplish all that you desire for us to do. May we fulfill our call on this earth for such a time as this. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, if you'd like to turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. And here we'll begin. From Shaul, an emissary of Messiah Yeshua, by command of our deliverer and the Messiah Yeshua, our hope, to Timothy, a true son, because of your trust. Grace and mercy and shalom from God the Father and the Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. As I counseled you when I was leaving for Macedonia, stay on in Ephesus so that you may order certain people who are teaching a different doctrine to stop. Have them stop devoting their attention to myths and never-ending genealogies. These divert people from speculating instead of doing God's work, which requires trust. The purpose of this order is to promote love from a clean heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere trust. Some, by aiming amiss, have wandered off into fruitless discussion. They want to be teachers of the Torah, but they neither understand, neither their own words, nor the matters about which they make such emphatic pronouncements. We know that Torah is good, provided one uses it in the way that Torah itself intends. We are aware that Torah is not for a person who is righteous, but for those who are heedless of Torah and rebellious, ungodly, sinful, wicked, and worldly, for people who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexual immoral, both heterosexual and homosexual, slave dealers, liars, prejurers, and anyone who acts contrary to the sound teaching that accords with the good news of the glorious and blessed God. This good news was entrusted to me, and I thank the one who has given me strength, the Messiah Yeshua our Lord, that he considered me trustworthy enough to put me in his service. That's a very, very powerful letter. And we can apply it to our own lives as the Spirit of the living God shows us the proper application. See, because there are times when we read things in Scripture and we think, well, we need to apply that to ourselves. But when we're led by the Spirit of the living God who is given to us to lead us into all truth, then we do nothing that is amiss. Because the Ruach, the Spirit of the living God, was given to us so that we would have proper instruction and encouragement, and that he would also discipline us. You see, he's the third part of the Godhead. And think about this, the intimacy that we have with the Ruach HaKodesh. He actually dwells within us. So anything that we encounter, he also encounters because he is there. He neither slumbers nor does he sleep. And there's nothing hidden from him. He recognizes on the motives of our hearts desires, And he's the one given to perfect us through that transformation process. And our motivation should always be our love for God the Father through his Son by the equipping and the empowering of the Ruach HaKodesh. Otherwise, we do things out of disunity with God the Father. And this is a lesson that we're constantly learning again and again and again. Today, we're going to focus mostly on verses 8 through 11 today. Praise be unto God. And so, years later, because at this time, predominantly the Messianic believers, who are Christians, both Jews and Gentiles, predominantly the population is greater of the Jewish heritage. But in time, there's a parameter that swings the opposite direction. Now the nations who are grafted into the Commonwealth of Israel, they are then put into, just by their vastness of their population, they infuse different things. So later the church, which it being mainly majority Gentiles, in their teaching has gone from that point and obscured the importance of the Torah concept. But the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, does not. You see, there is balance between one and the other. So these self-appointed, misguided teachers, leaders, they claimed to understand Torah, but they did not fully understand Torah and its proper application. And you may say, Rabbi Frank, you're really picking on the body of Messiah who's been grafted in. We're going to now look at how even those who received the Torah, the Pharisees and the scribes, took Torah out of its context, added to traditions of man, and told the people that the traditions, the oral Torah, is more important than the written Torah, the actual Torah that Moses received from God on Mount Sinai. If you'd like to turn with me now, let us now turn to the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to be looking at chapter number 5, Luke chapter 5. See, the best commentary on God's word is God's word itself, not using a middleman like commentaries, but word, line upon line, precept upon precept. So here we are in Luke chapter 5, and we'll begin here in verse number 17. One day when Yeshua was teaching, there were Purshim, that is Pharisees, and Torah teachers present who had come from various villages in Galilee, which is Galilee, and Yehuda, which is Judah, and also from Jerusalem. And the power of Adonai was upon him to heal the sick. Some men were carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed. They wanted him to bring him inside and lay him in front of Yeshua, but they couldn't find a way to get to him because of the crowd. So they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mattress through the tiles into the middle of the gathering, right in front of Yeshua. When Yeshua saw their trust, that is their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." The Torah teachers and the Purushim began thinking, underline that word. They're not expressing, they're not making this verbal communication, but they're thinking, they're contemplating what they're seeing, what they're observing. And they hear those words. What man can say to someone, "Your sins are forgiven"? What audacity is going on here? So think about this. Yeshua, being both man and God, was able to listen to the thoughts they're thinking. And so let us go forward here. Praise be unto God. I'll find my right place here. Verse number 20. When Yeshua saw their trust, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Excuse me. The Torah teachers and the Perishim began thinking, "Who is this fellow that speaks such blasphemies? Who can forgive sin except God?" So what revelation is Yeshua trying to show them? Remember, these are the most learned Torah teachers throughout the nation of Israel. And why was Yeshua sent to them? Yes, to die upon the tree and raise from the dead, but also to instruct them what the proper discernment and living out Torah is to be, because of their traditions and putting the oral Torah, the traditions of man, before the written Torah of God, they had polluted their own interpretation and those that were following after them. And Yeshua wanted to make this very, very clear to them. So think about this today. Who has God given to us to cause us to think rightly, to do things with, from motivation of our hearts? Who has God given to us? Our rabbi? Our pastor? Our theologian? No, he has given to us the Ruach HaKodesh, who has proper discernment and application, and the one who leads us into all truth. That's why we're instructed in Scripture. When we hear someone preach or teach, we're to do what? We're to examine what they have taught. Does it line up with what was prophesied in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and also later revealed in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament? Does it line up with God's word? Or does it divide? Does it lead astray? And you see, Rav Shaul's instruction to Timothy, because he was a young man, and there were older men in this community who probably attended the local synagogue many more years than Timothy did. And he was instructed them to tell them, "You are now to stop." No difference from what Yeshua is facing here with these Torah teachers, this Perishim, those highly educated doctors of Torah. And they're saying to in their minds, "Who does he think he is? He's now blaspheming. He's now taking the place of God." And so Yeshua, in the midst of this, nothing is hidden before him. Could he not call down fire from heaven to consume them in their evil thoughts? Absolutely. But he's showing them love and compassion to consider the signs and wonders that he was presenting that they knew could only come from the one true God. And there are times when we see plain evidence as the Spirit of living God reveals to us. And there are times it's just too much. It's so overwhelming. And we need the time to process this. We need the assurance of the Spirit of living God speaking to our hearts and bringing confirmation, opening our eyes so that we may see, and opening our ears so that we may hear what the Spirit of living God is speaking to us. That's an ongoing process that we are encountering daily. If we're walking and growing in and with Yeshua, Praise be unto God. So hear their words. Who is this fellow that speaks such blasphemies? Who can forgive sin except God? But Yeshua, knowing, not guessing, not prophesying, well, this thought came to Yeshua's mind, so he's just going to go ahead and speak it out. No, him knowing. Why? Because he is the second part of the Trinity, and he knows all things. Yeshua knows that when you and I face temptation, whether we're going to call upon the Ruach, the Spirit, to equip us and empower so that we'd walk in victory and leave behind us that temptation, or if we're going to play games and we're going to embrace that temptation, there's nothing that is hidden before his eyes. Praise be unto God. Verse 22, but Yeshua, knowing what they were thinking, answered, why are you turning over such thoughts in your hearts? Why does he reference the heart? They were just contemplating this in the mind. See, they say there's a span between 18 inches between the mind and the heart. And whatever we contemplate in mind, that's why the Lord says, take every thought captive. Because it gives birth to our motivations that are lived out in our hearts. You know how sad case is? People who are non-believers, they do everything out of emotion and by what they feel, because they do not have a guard or a governor in their lives, which is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Living God. But you and I, as believers, we don't have that excuse anymore. For the Spirit of the Living God speaks to us daily, but are we listening? Are we listening and embracing his correction? And say, I now humbly submit, because I'm tired of the old me. It's amazing that the Lord has not delivered us from our old carnal nature, and it rears its ugly head at times where we think that we're walking in total victory, but the Lord allows us to show us ourselves. Because then we're at the crossroads there of growing and developing and putting our trust in the Lord and allowing the Spirit of Living God to manifest himself in and through us, which brings confirmation and joy. Because we know if we choose to walk in the Lord's provision, then we walk in victory instead of defeat. But isn't it beautiful to know that even when we walk and we are defeated, the Lord does not cast us off, but he's there to woo us back into relationship. But what stands at the crossroads? Rabbi Frank, you must first repent. Then you can be reconciled unto me. Rabbi Frank, why are you picking on yourself? That's the only safe person I can speak on. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Messiah. Praise be unto God. Why are you turning over such thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or get up and walk? But look, I will prove to you that what? The Son of Man. Can you imagine how their ears perked up right there? They knew who he was talking about, the Son of Man. They were highly educated. They knew Torah. But there were times when they leaned upon the oral traditions and they walked in deception. But look, I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. That had to be like a dagger going to their spiritual hypocrisy. Because they believed that they were the most holy men who ever walked the face of this earth. They were not walking in humility. Can you imagine this? The literal person who God chose before he created the heavens, the earth, before he created our mother, Hava, Eve, who is life, and our father, Adam, that God the Father knew that this day would come, and so did his son. He saw this day. He knew their names. He saw them raise up. He saw them be appointed to where they were, and nothing was hidden before his eyes. And here was a divine appointment. Yeshua is not pulling any punches with them. He's speaking to them directly. He's making them make a decision. As their own thoughts were this, only God can forgive sins. That's right. And Yeshua is now addressing himself as the Son of Man. Has authority on earth to forgive sins. Well, if you stop and think about that just for 1 second, okay, so since now the Son of Man has now authority to forgive sins, where did that authority come from? God the Father. Yeshua said, the things you see me do and the things that I say, I do not of my own accord, but I'm here to reveal you to you, the Father. He's given me authority to do all these things. No one else. Praise be unto God. But look, I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, that paralyzed man, he said these words, I say to you now, get up, pick up your mattress, and go home. We don't know how long this guy has been paralyzed. Now, Yeshua is now turning to that man and is asking him to receive what Yeshua has now shared, that your sins are forgiven, and that you, not his friends, Yeshua is not going to go over there and say, let me help you up. Let me lay hands on you and pray over you. No, it's just a spoken command, for he is God manifest in human flesh. And he says, no, I want you to do this as an act of faith. And so this guy had to come out of what? His comfort zone. And think about this. Who is he before? The religious leaders of his own people. So for now, for him to be healed, he has to receive now the testimony of this man who claims to be the Son of God, who has the power and authority to forgive sins. And now I got to believe right now that if I reach out and I begin to stand up, I'm now to take my own mattress and I'm weak, I'm feeble, and I have to do this before the religious leaders of my nation? Won't I become a cast out? And what if I don't get healed? I make the motion. Won't these religious leaders now condemn me? Think about all that, what's going on in this man's mind and heart. Praise be unto God. Immediately. How soon? Immediately. In front of everyone, he stood up. Who stood up? Yeshua? No. This paralytic man. He stood up on feeble legs. You know, there are times when the Spirit of Living God asks us to do something, and you say, Lord, please call someone else. I can't do this. I am so weak right now. Help me in my unbelief. Immediately, in front of everyone, he stood up. He picked up what he had been laying on, and he went home praising God. Think about that. Amazement seized them all, and they made a bracha to God, a blessing, because of what they had seen. A lame man, a paralytic, being healed before their eyes. So what were the Pharisees now to contemplate? This went against their oral traditions. Everything that they trusted in and thought and knew. Because they knew that the source of this had to be God the Father. There was no denying what had taken place. Verse 26, amazement seized them all, and they made the bracha, which is a blessing to God. And they were awestruck, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. I agree with them. Totally. This was not a normal day. Think about that. Yeshua is sitting in that home, and all of a sudden the roof starts coming apart. But he knows exactly what's happening because he knew the thoughts of those friends that desired to bring their friend. It was their trust, their faith. You know what's beautiful about having brothers and sisters in Messiah who are believing with you for the impossible? It is a great thing. And as we join our faith and trust in the Lord to do the miraculous, it's truly amazing. And so it started with their trust and faith. And we don't hear their friend, who's a paralytic, arguing, hey guys, I'm paralyzed. You know what? If I fall off this roof, I'm probably going to die. That communication is not there. You know what's beautiful about the scripture? What the Spirit inspired the prophets to write, they do not do it through rose-colored glasses. Things are as they are. Things are exposed as they are. And we can put our trust and faith in the Lord through this whole process. And I know many of you have probably read that portion of Scripture many, many times before. And I believe it's inspired you to believe God for the miraculous. And that's never ending. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so these self-appointed, misguided teachers, leaders, claim to understand Torah. But what did Yeshua reveal to them? You guys have no clue. You have no discernment. Because they should have been able to discern the one who was before them and doing this miraculous act was truly the representative of God the Father. Because even in this time and setting, the Jewish people were looking for what? For the Mashiach, the Messiah, to come. To do what? To deliver them from Rome's oppression. Yet the spiritual leaders of Israel were blind and walking in their own deception, which put the oral traditions of men before the written word of God. Can you imagine after they rose up and they left? Did you notice they did not gather stones? They did not take Yeshua before the Sanhedrin and say he is blasphemed. because Yeshua knew this, that there was fertile soil there. Just like every spring, you go out to your garden, what do you have to do? You got to clean things up, do you not? Last year's growth has to be removed. People, they rent these tilling machines. Some take, it's called a hoe and a shovel. They mix up the soil. They add additives to it, and it produces growth. You see, these men's hearts had became hardened through the oral tradition. Why? Because they were trying to honor God through their own good works. And what does Scripture say? Our works in and of themselves, our righteousness is what but filthy rags. And it's only by putting our trust and faith in the revealed Torah that Yeshua fulfilled. It's upon his works of dying upon that tree and raising from the dead, his own precious blood, who he took into the presence of the Father in heaven and laid it upon that altar to cleanse all past and present and future sins of anyone who will simply put their trust in Yeshua. Praise be unto God.